What did Grima actually do to Theoden to make him like that? Put him under a spell? Use poisons? The power of his words? Or was it actually not him but Saruman? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. If you like theories, background, history and lore about The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher, this is the place for you. Welcome. The Theoden we first meet in The Lord of the Rings is sickly, suggestible, and clearly under the influence of Grima Wormtongue, his chief advisor. Although we didn't know him before, this is clearly a massive change. Theoden had been a strong leader, and now, well, in the films, he is in particularly bad shape, unable to speak clearly, prematurely aged, and seemingly senile. In the books, it isn't quite that bad. We read this description of him as Gandalf, Gimli and Legolas enter his hall. A man so bent with age that he seemed almost a dwarf, but his white hair was long and thick and fell in great braids from beneath a thin golden circlet set upon his brow. In the centre, upon his forehead, shone a single white diamond. His beard was laid like snow upon his knees, but his eyes still burned with a bright light, glinting as he gazed at the strangers. He then proceeds to stand, rather gingerly, and give an eloquent little speech, but it is very apparent that he is parroting Grima's words. This isn't just a king growing old, it is a king under malign influence. Something has happened to him. But what? Well, the films make it clear that he has been put under a spell by Saruman, a sort of possession of sorts. Grima is there acting as Saruman's puppet. And at first glance, this is what seems to have happened in the books, too. In Appendix A, we are told that Theoden fell into a decline under the spells of Saruman, but was healed by Gandalf. Fair enough. Saruman is powerful, and later in the story, when Gandalf is leading a small group to confront Saruman, he even cautions them to beware Saruman's voice, and that he is certainly capable of casting spells on them from afar. And when Gandalf restores Theoden to his former self, it certainly reads as if he is doing some kind of mighty magic. He raised his staff. There was a roll of thunder. The sunlight was blotted out from the eastern windows. The whole hall became suddenly dark as night. The fire faded to sullen embers. Only Gandalf could be seen, standing white and tall before the blackened hearth. In the gloom they heard the hiss of Wormtongue's voice. "Did I not counsel you, Lord, to forbid his staff? That fool Hummer has betrayed us." There was a flash, as if lightning had cloven the roof. Then all was silent. Wormtongue sprawled on his face. Gandalf, pretending to need his stick to aid him walking, but actually using it for magic, is emphasised here. This is a magical battle. The imagery of Gandalf standing white and tall, easily overcoming Saruman's magic and leaving Saruman's puppet lying face down on the floor before him, is therefore important here. This is the new levelled-up Gandalf. Gandalf the White, or as he declares himself a bit earlier, Saruman the White, as he should have been. Gandalf is now the head of the Order, and will now assert his authority over Saruman, even from afar. What the exact spells are to put Theoden in that state and then release him are not clear, but that's how Tolkien usually wrote about magic. A soft magic system, we would now say. He hardly ever tells us the ins and outs of how it works. And it's probably notable that Theoden, as a man of action, doesn't spend long contemplating the ins and outs of what had happened to him or what Gandalf does. In fact, he doesn't ask about what had happened at all, focusing more on the situation at hand and what needs to be done. His only real reflection on what happened was to growl that, "Dark have been my dreams of late," he said, "but I feel as one new awakened. I would now that you had come before, Gandalf." So it seems that he had been in some sort of dream state. He had been vaguely aware of what was going on, but robbed of his critical faculties and suggestible in the extreme. But hang on a moment. If this is all Saruman just casting a spell from afar, then what does Grima have to do with it? Why did Saruman even bother with Grima? I think there are a few levels to this, and first we should probably look at what Saruman was actually trying to achieve here. It wasn't to kill Theoden, he never even tried that. Instead, it was to weaken Rohan, so that when Saruman was ready to invade, the Rohirrim would be scattered, disorganised, and without clear leadership. Diminishing Théoden's ability to think independently definitely helped with that, but Théoden had an equally capable son, Théodred, and nephew, Éomer, who could both step up and were both actively opposing Saruman's subtle preparations with the Dunlendings and Orcs. So having Grímur in place meant that he could sow dissension in the ruling family, taking more of the senior leadership out of the equation, ordering Éomer not to go hunting orcs, then ordering him arrested when he refused, for example. Second, we need to remember that Saruman was still pretending to be one of the good guys until early in the main story. If Théoden had suddenly and mysteriously come down with what looked like a magically induced illness, and Grímur wasn't there, people might start suspecting the wizard who lived just a few miles down the road. As it was, Grímur was there, and everyone blamed Grímur. Clever and sneaky, but very much Saruman's style. Third, maybe there is a practical, magical reason. Saruman was powerful, but not omniscient. He couldn't concentrate on everything at once. He was dealing with building an army, hunting for the ring, sparring with Gandalf and even Sauron through the Palantir, visits from the Witch King and so on. All of that needed his attention. He couldn't be focused on Théoden and how he should respond to fast-moving situations 100% of the time, so he had someone do it for him. That's right, Saruman delegated. Which is all to say that Grímur did add value. He was part of what kept Théoden in that condition. It wasn't all just a long-distance spell by Saruman. Grímur had a part to play too. It isn't at all obvious from the films, or even in the main story in the books, but in Unfinished Tales, in the section on the Battle of the Fords of Isen, we read this. The king's health began to fail in the year 3014, when Théoden was 66. His malady may thus have been due to natural causes, though the Rohirrim commonly lived till near or beyond their 80th year. But it may well have been induced or increased by subtle poisons administered by Grímur. In any case, Théoden's sense of weakness and dependence on Grímur was largely due to the cunning and skill of this evil counsellor's suggestions. So what happened to Théoden actually seems to have had a few stages. First, about 4 or 5 years before the main events of The Lord of the Rings, his health began to fail. This was probably due to Grímur using poisons and the like on him, and Théoden increasingly came to rely on his senior advisor. And then at some point, Saruman targeted the weakened king with a spell or some spells. We don't know the details, we just know that Théoden fell into a decline through the spells of Saruman. And the control was made complete by the cunning and skill of Grímur's words, and his ability to keep other moderating voices away from the king's ear. Théoden was weakened, he was made suggestible and malleable, and then guided with ill intent. It is classic Tolkien that we are not told where the dividing line was between sorcery, alchemy and suggestion, or even between Saruman's work and Grímur's, because perhaps it did not matter. What mattered was that this was evil. Not just because it was done by evil men, but because of what it was, taking control of someone else, using them and manipulating them in a show of callous power. That would have been an evil act, regardless of how it was achieved. And Gandalf giving his freedom back was a good deed, not just because it helped out in the war effort, but because bringing freedom was a righteous act in and of itself. Freedom and goodness, conquering over control and evil, was what Tolkien cared about, far more than the exact mechanics of how that evil or good act was achieved. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen now. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.